Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be together. Wonderful to see some of your silhouettes in the distance. And as I said earlier, wonderful to celebrate God's goodness together. It's never ever tire of just remembering the good and wonderful things that have happened to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, eh? All right, so this morning, Jacques mentioned, Shane has been sharing some wonderful insights with us over the past few weeks related to the whole topic of really of reigning in life, which is what we're here for. That's why Jesus paid a price for us, to bring about the fullness of God's intention and purpose for each and every one of us to be people who reign in life. Not in our own strength, not relying on our efforts, but just really reigning out of the goodness of who is living inside us and learning to draw from that and seeing our lives change and seeing us overcome and walk through the circumstances of life in a different way altogether. And so I want to just continue a little aspect of that this morning, of reigning in life. I want to talk about reigning in life by overcoming offenses. And it's something I think that we need to be on top of in our lives. There's nothing worse than someone who is offended. And I hope you're not going to be offended by what I share this morning. But just before we do that, I really want to start just by laying a platform out of a wonderful passage of Scripture, which I've just been meditating on, and I want to read it to you as it's translated in the message. It's from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And it says, by entering through faith into what God has already always wanted for us, always wanted to do for us, to set us right with Him and to make us fit for Him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open the doors to God and discover at the same time that He has already thrown open His door to us. And we find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, and out in the wide open space of God's grace and His glory, standing tall and shouting out our praises. Isn't that wonderful? And I think this is something that we must remind ourselves of every day, is that every day when we get up, we can say, man, today I'm standing in the grace of God. It wasn't just something that was available to me when I got saved, but God's grace flows through our lives perpetually, and we stand in that grace. It's such a profound thing when you begin to just focus on that. That, you know, if you're standing in grace, then what can you not overcome in life? Amen. Even a hymn writer some years ago wrote a hymn about this very topic, and he said that we are born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And I trust you see that too, that as we stand in the grace of God, we are standing in a most secure and wonderful place, a place of wide open space, a space that God creates in our lives that is unique and special. And let's remember that is ours through what Jesus has done for us. Well, now, what does it mean to be offended or to take offense? I think in Afrikaans we talk about aanstoot neem. Is that right? Anybody, is that a reasonable translation? We aanstoot neem nie. So we want to talk about taking offense or being offended. And what does it really mean to be offended? What does it mean to take offense? Well, I think in a short summary, one can say that being offended means it's a negative response. It's a negative response or a negative reaction to something that has been said or done that doesn't sit well with us. If that happens, we've taken offense. It can also mean because of something that hasn't been said. We can take offense at something that should have happened, we think, but didn't. We can also take offense because somebody didn't say something which we were hoping they were going to say. So when you look at it in that light, you see that there are great and wonderful opportunities for all of us to take offense. Something that hurts our feelings. And here, of course, we're moving into the realm of our emotions, something that Shane touched on a lot last week about. When we're offended, it's our emotions that have got a negative connotation to them. We're upset about something. Something that someone did has made us angry. Something that someone said to us has wounded our spirits. Something that someone didn't say irked us, brought us distress, has made us resentful and even angry. Those are all typical emotional responses that reflect an offended spirit. And so, you know, even the way we refer to people when they're offended carries a negative connotation. Hey, you know that? You talk about someone, you've ruffled his feathers. All right? You've trod on his toes. You've rubbed him up the wrong way. You've put his nose out of joint. You've put his back up. You know, all of those things when you say, oh, you put his back up there, boy, when you said that. These are all painted a negative picture of what's happened, and they are really portraying what has happened to someone's emotions by something that has been said or done to them. Maybe not directly even to them. You might just pick it up anyway. And of course, there are even some more vulgar terms that are used to describe someone who's offended. And I won't use any of those now because I don't want to offend you. But basically, it's pride. It's pride, and it's a preoccupation with self that are the main reasons for us becoming offended. An offense is something that really pricks your pride, something that offends your own sense of who you think you are and your own sense of worth or your own values. These are things that when somebody says something or does something that pricks on those areas, that's when we really become ruffled, with our feathers ruffled. So what I'm saying is life is a minefield out there in terms of offenses. There's just so much out there that causes offense to people, different things, different reasons that cause people to become offended. And I mean, it's inevitable that throughout life you're going to find people will say things that sometimes are just casually said, sometimes deliberately, that are careless remarks, that are insensitive possibly, and sometimes even downright mean. And when that happens, we get offended. But the other side of the coin is too that truth can offend you. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm sure we're all familiar with that verse of Scripture, John chapter 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And one commentator said, it'll set you free, that's true, but first it'll make you miserable. And there is a sense of truth in some of that sometimes, because often when you first hear a truth, something that is really true, it can offend you. And it's only when you've come to understand it, that you've become to know it, that truth, that it, and you have revelation of its real meaning, then you will be able to be liberated from your offense of the truth. And of course, there's a classic example of that in Scripture when we read in, I think it's in Luke chapter 18, verse 18. It's a story where Jesus encounters a young man. Sometimes he's referred to as the rich young man or the rich young ruler. Obviously, he shows that he was a man of means and substance, a young guy who had, was really making his way through life, and who really wanted to have the best that there was available. And he had been obviously following Jesus, and then he came up to Jesus and he asked him a most vital question. He said to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a very valid question. And we know the story, what Jesus said to him. But what Jesus said to him offended him. Because Jesus immediately saw that the thing that is holding this young guy back from really coming into a measure of life that he has never understood but wants to experience is the fact of his own wealth and his pride and his sense of his own self-worth. And when Jesus said to him, "That's what you've got to do, is you've got to go and sell everything and follow me," what does the Bible record for us? It says that when he heard this, he became very sad. And Mark says, he went away sad and his face fell. Now, those are all outward signs of being deeply offended. Jesus told him the truth, shared the truth with him. It was there for him to take, but his pride got in the way and he rejected the truth. And he went away sad, knowing that there was still something he wanted. But he was offended that he would have to give up what he had. Now, that might not always be the case for every one of us, but some kind of offense will come our way that will have to be taken on. Otherwise, it can be a blocking in our lives to greater things. But in his case, all the signs pointed to a man that was offended. And I can, in a sense, testify to the fact that truth offends, because I can remember the night that I got saved. It was wonderful to hear about this young guy that got saved at the Mauna Kea the other morning. But I can remember the night that I got saved. I was just like that young, rich young ruler. I was young at that stage. Not too rich, but wealth meant a lot to me. And I was climbing the corporate ladder, and I had an opinion of myself. I didn't share it openly. I didn't tell people about it, but I just hoped they would pick it up, that I was a pretty well self-made man, making my way through the corporate jungle, and whatever it took to get to the top, I was going to get there. And all about me, my life was just falling apart. And so I landed up in this little, invited to a Bible study. And to my horror, when I got there, not that I wanted to go in the first place, but when I got there, I noticed that it was only me and my wife Wendy and another couple and this little old, real little old conservative lady and her husband. So there was no place to hide, I can tell you. And I happened to choose the chair right over the way from her. And this little old lady, she was she and her husband were missionaries. And they were passing through Johannesburg at the time, and we landed up in this lounge with them. And I mean, she was everything that I despised. She was so dressed with a little collar and little brooch and little bullocky of hair and little round glasses and this big round face and long dress and everything. So outdated. You see, now I'm already offended by this. And the fact that I'm there against my will is also an offense to me. And anyway, I had all my good answers. I'd been brought up in the church. You know, I was a good church-going type. But I also had my strange ideas that had rubbed off on me through my years at university, etc. So I thought, well, the best I can do here tonight is I'm just going to destroy this woman. Nice, eh? You never thought I was ever like that, did you? But that was my intention. I thought, okay, bring it on, Granny. I'll sort you out. And so she started. She flapped open this massive Bible that filled her whole lap, and she started sharing the gospel with me. Not only with me, but with my other friend who was also sweating, I can tell you. And but I just got so offended by the truth that she was telling me. Because as the evening wore on, I was just, every answer I threw at her, every jibe I took at her, she just simply looked at me with a smile on her face and she just said, no, but that's not what the Bible says. And so all my arguments were just being demolished one by one. And I was beginning to really squirm and feel bad. Very offended. If the floor could have opened and swallowed me up, I'd have been the happiest guy around. But, you see, I was offended because she was sharing truth with me. I was offended by that truth. And I can't honestly say that when I left there that night that I still wasn't totally unoffended. But as she shared the truth, it began to dawn on me. And I just heard this voice say to me, what are you fighting? And I realized that I needed something badly. And that was Jesus. And so, at the end of this grueling session for me, she closed her Bible, and she folded her arms, and she just looked at me, and she said, now, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And I said, yes. That was a great night in my life. I didn't understand a lot of it, but I just use that as an illustration to show you that what offended me was her words. And her words were truth. And what also offended me was her attitude. She never, ever got angry. She just stayed calm. She was so serene. She was, you could just see there was just such peace and love in her. And I've never seen that woman again. But I will one day see her, I know. And then I will say, thank you for what you told me that night. But there was a double load of offense that came to me that night. So truth can offend us. So you see, the cause of an offense to you might be perfectly legitimate. But being offended is an illegitimate response. It's an illegitimate attitude. It's an illegitimate emotional state. Because it's a picture of self-pity, it's a picture of resentment and bitterness and anger and vengeance. These are all the responses of an offended person. And if these emotions aren't checked, then they can lead to very negative outcomes. And of course, that leads me to the story of who we might call the father of the offended. And that was a guy called Cain. And you can read about him in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. But you know that Cain and Abel were the sons of Adam and Eve. And the Bible tells us that that Cain was a guy who worked the soil. And his brother Abel was one who kept sheep. Kept flocks. And both of those brothers felt the need somewhere along the line to worship God by bringing him sacrifices. And so Abel, probably thinking back to what happened to his parents when they turned against God and they tried to cover their offense by little fig leaves, and God actually came and a lamb or a sheep or an animal had to be slaughtered in order to provide the skin that God used to clothe them with. He kind of looked back and thought, you know, my sin is so bad that there's nothing I can do to find peace with God. Only blood, only a sacrifice can do this. So that's what's prompted him to bring a lamb. And Cain, we know, he just worked hard. By the sweat of his brow, he was digging and cultivating the soil, and he just took up a handful of his produce from the soil and brought it to God as a sacrifice. And of course, God favored Abel's sacrifice, and that offended Cain. His sacrifice was not accepted, and he was offended. And we know that that offense sat on him, cooked inside him, churned inside him. For how long, we don't know, but eventually one day he said to his brother, let's take a walk. And only he came back from that walk. He killed his brother. He murdered him. The first murder that is recorded for us in Scripture. That was the result of an offense. Pretty extreme one, but nonetheless, I think it shows us the gravity of what happens when we just allow offenses to harbor a little part of our lives. It's interesting to realize, of course, too, that God did not abandon Cain. The fact that he did what he did, God didn't turn his back on him. And I think that's something that we always need to remember and keep in mind, too. That God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. The sad thing is that some people have often become offended with God himself. Further on in Genesis, you find another story of another man who also suffered grievous offense. And that guy's name was Joseph. We've recently heard of his life story as well again. And you know the story of Joseph and all the very many injustices that he faced, the things that were done to him. So, by his own brothers and his own family. And all along the way, he just encountered such unfair treatment, we would say. So, you know, in other words, in worldly terms, we would think he was justified in being offended. But he did not allow offense to take hold of him. He overlooked those offenses. And the result was a very positive one. And we read about that in Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. The very brothers who had set off this chain of terrible things that happened to him actually were the ones who came to him in need. And he said, don't be afraid, I will provide for you and your children. And be reassured. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. The very people that had offended him. What about in the New Testament? You can find other stories besides the rich young ruler. And one of them is a lady called Martha. You remember? She had a sister called Mary. Mary and Martha. And we know all about them. They were obviously good friends to Jesus. And Martha also had to learn to deal with offense. And you can read about that in Luke chapter 10. Verses 41 and 42, you know the story. Jesus was at their home, and people had gathered, and they were listening to Jesus as he taught and shared. And one of them that did that was Mary. And her sister Martha was in the meanwhile thinking, well, what are we going to do to feed all these people, look after their needs? She was busy with all the household chores to make sure that her guests were taken care of. She was serving, doing a good thing. But she got offended because there was her sister sitting at Jesus' feet. And we know the story. Jesus said to her, man, she's chosen the better thing. And we know that Martha became, she must have become offended by that. But a little later on, we understand too that she had worked through that offense. Because a little while later, Jesus again, on his way to Jerusalem, just before his crucifixion, stopped off at their home. And there was a dinner given in his honor, it says, in John's chapter 12, I think it is, where Jesus came to their home and they had a dinner in his honor. And Lazarus was there. They were obviously celebrating the fact that Lazarus had come back from the dead. And at that dinner, we just read about everybody was reclining at the table, and Lazarus was reclining at the table, and Martha served. The word tells us. She served. But this time, she was serving with the right attitude. She'd come to realize, man, that there's also a wonderful privilege in serving. So it wasn't that she wanted to be in the limelight all the time, but she had now come to understand that she need not be offended, that she could also serve with a right spirit. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples on one occasion, he said, it is impossible that offense will come. It is impossible that but that offense will come. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. And another occasion, it's recorded in Matthew 18, Jesus said, woe to the world because of offenses. In other words, we are guaranteed, as I said earlier, that there will be opportunities for offense coming each and every one of our ways. They will always be around. And whenever relationships are important, as in the church, there will be opportunities for offense. And they will arise. Offenses will arise. That's a guarantee. So the vital issue for us is not how do we run away from offenses, because we can't. But the vital issue is how do we deal with them when they do arise. And if we allow offenses to settle on us, if we don't seek to resolve those offenses, then the effects on our relationships with others can be devastating. And I don't know how many friendships I haven't seen terminated because of an offense. Marriages are destroyed by offense. Families are divided by offense. Churches also are torn apart by offense. Simple things, offenses, can, if they're not dealt with and if they're not processed in the right way, can really create a lot of devastation. And all of our relationships, all of human relationships, have suffered some effect of the offenses. And in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, it tells us that an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. And that's quite a strong statement. Because a fortified city was something that was virtually impregnable. That once you were inside that city, nothing could get to you. And the Bible is telling us what can happen in our lives if we allow an offense to take such a hold of us that we build a wall around ourselves. We keep other people away. Offended people tend to do that. They build this kind of invisible wall around themselves. And the longer it goes on, the thicker the wall becomes. And the more difficult it is to reach out to them. In other words, they become withdrawn. They isolate themselves. And that's a sad thing. That's not ever what God intended for us. So what can we say then about offenses? Just in a quick summary. Firstly, that they are inevitable. Offenses are inevitable. It's impossible but that offenses will come. It's impossible for them not to come. And if being offended is such a certainty, then we shouldn't be caught off guard. If we know that offense is always possible to us, we shouldn't be caught off guard by that. Rather, we should give thought to how you are going to deal with an offense when it comes. How will you process that offense? It's a great opportunity that if we know offenses are going to come, we shouldn't be caught off guard. We should actually be aware of how we can deal with them. And then also, the second thing, of course, is that Satan, or our enemy, he can use offenses for our destruction. And so 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. He can't bring an offense against you, but when you are offended, you open yourself to that thing becoming something he can use against you." And in fact, the Greek word that was used for offense is actually the word skandalon. Skandalon, from which we derive the word scandal or scandalized. And originally that word scandalon actually meant the bait stick that was used in a trap. Like if you set a trap for a mouse, you put a bit of cheese on the point where the trap is set. That's the scandalon. It can do nothing to you unless you take it. So when a fence comes and you take it, bang, the trap goes. And you're ensnared. Better when the offense comes to be wary of that and not take the trap, not take the bait. You don't want to trigger off something that is going to ensnare you in even more difficult things later on. So that's why Peter says, when the devil comes like a roaring lion, resist him, standing firm in the faith. That's where we turn our attention to God and say, "God, this is a moment I really need the grace to be able to stand against what's coming at me right now." But God, you know, can use offenses to our good. He doesn't send offenses our way, but like we saw with Joseph, those offenses, because he handled them correctly, actually brought about something good and wonderful. That can happen in our cases as well. Because we know, man, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes, which is you and me. And then the third thing, obviously, is that an offense is a choice. You can't control what others may say or do to you, but you can control how you're going to respond to what is said or done. So between the offense coming and your response, there is a space. And that space is a space in which you can really reflect the grace of God. And you can, with his strength and his help, you can take hold of your emotions, because they are your emotions, as Shane reminded us. You can't blame someone else for that. But we can take control of our emotions. We can take every thought captive to Christ. We have that ability within us, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. And so at that moment, we don't have to give in and just respond as people normally would do when they are offended. That's why I like what Proverbs 9, chapter 9, verse 11 says. It says, "It's to the discretion of a man that to make him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression or an offense." In summary, it's to a man's glory that he overlooks an offense. You don't often find, I don't think anywhere in Scripture, that glory is accorded to man other than when he overlooks an offense. That's powerful. It's a profound moment, that moment, before you respond, to just again remember that you are standing in grace. You have every resource that you could ever wish for in you already. It just simply requires us to activate that and say we're not going to be offended by what is said here. Why go into that dark, gloomy territory of offended spirits when we can just simply deal with it and move on into the better things that God has in store for us? So from that, I just want to say that I think there's just some steps. And I mean, I think the whole area of offense is such that there's lots one could share about it. But just a few things that I feel we could do that can keep us staying free of an offense. Because once you're offended, you're in a prison that you've allowed to be created around you. And God doesn't want us. It is for freedom that Christ died. Freedom in every area. So let's live out in the fullness of that freedom. So I think the first thing always is you've got to acknowledge that you're offended. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, your feelings are important, but they shouldn't rule your life. And when something is said that, ouch, that hurts, or that causes pain to me, you just got to acknowledge that and work through it. You can't work through something that you're not ready to acknowledge. Pretending doesn't get us anywhere. You can't sweep things under the carpet, as they say. The best way to live is to live in the open. And no, man, this has been hurtful. What you just said has really offended me, but we can talk it through. We can resolve this. I don't have to become trapped by the offense. I don't have to take the bait and be scandalized. So acknowledge that you're offended, and then remind yourself that you have a choice. I know that sometimes on the spur of the moment, it's very difficult at that moment that you've just been hurt or something negative has impounded on your spirit, but you still have a choice. You have a choice, the choice for a better way, and that is to say, I'm not going to get offended by this. Stay in a place of freedom. That's where God wants us always to be. And then remember too, man, that we are dead to these things. We are dead to these things. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3 tells us that you died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Remind yourself of that, because that's the truth about you. That's your position in Christ and He in you. Hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. So set your minds or your affections on things above and not on earthly things. These are not just nice little verses for us to quote and share with one another. They are intended for us to live by. And so get the word more and more into us. And I tell you, when the challenge comes, it will respond. And we will know exactly how to work, how to face the challenge that comes our way. And so remember who you now are in Christ. It's so vital. I just think of some of the wonderful things I was reading about. I just jotted them down here from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 through to 8. Where Paul just reminds the Ephesians of who they now are. And I want to remind you now of who you are now in Christ. That you've been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. That's amazing. That you've been predestined to be His adopted sons through Jesus Christ. That you are redeemed by His blood. That you are forgiven in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He has lavished on you. Isn't that amazing? We have everything that we need and more, if I can put it that way. There is no need for us to dabble in the area of offense. How can we become offended when our identity is so secure in Christ? Amen? It's a sad thing, man, when you encounter offended Christians. That is just a total denial or lack of understanding of who they really are and what Jesus has done for us. There is no grounds anywhere for a believer to be an offended person. That may offend you. But it's the truth. And I tell you, that will set you free if you really embrace it. We are a new creation. So we respond in a new way. We don't do what the world does. We don't take the offense. We let offenses go. We let them bounce off us. Oh, yeah, it's easy to say that. I've explained to you that it's not easy, but it is totally possible because of who we are in Christ. And if you don't believe that, then next time someone offends you, just try it and see, and you'll be convinced. Our aim is not to be offended, but to forgive those who offend us. Proverbs 10:12 says, man, it is love that covers over all wrongs. And that is the response of our hearts. It's love. Love is the motivation in our lives. Proverbs 17 verse 9 says that he who covers over an offense promotes love. And that's what we need to be here for, man. We have to promote love, not to take revenge on someone. And so let me just share a final scripture with you, from also from Colossians, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What an inheritance we have, hey? What a awesome understanding of who we are in Christ. That we are filled with all of these qualities, and that we dressed up in them in a sense, and that on top of that we have this overcoat of love that keeps it all together. That isn't something that comes and goes, that now you have it, now you don't. It is you always in that place. And therefore we can overlook and forgive whatever offenses have come to us. And friends, this morning I really want to encourage you to take God's word at his word. And if any offense is still harboring itself inside you, to go and make that thing right with him, with whoever it may be, if it's possible. You know, sometimes it's too late to put right an offense that someone caused you, because that person is no longer here, or they've passed out of your life in some way or another. But you can still forgive and move on. But I really want to encourage us that we are become people who live in the fullness of all that God wants for us. Eh? And that's a place of total freedom. Not controlled or owned by some words that someone said that have eaten into our emotions somewhere. Because our emotions are not the truth. Our spirit is the truth. And that's what we want to live by. So I trust that we can move forward. If it's been an issue in your life of being offended, that you will have the victory, complete and total victory, because that is what God desires for you. That is what He has equipped us to be, because of who lives within us. God bless you. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.